The first reading for the ascension of our Lord is from Acts chapter 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father is fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes, and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 1. "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for the celebration of this Ascension Day comes to us from the Lord's hymn book, the Psalms, Psalm 47. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. Thus far the text. My dear beloved in Christ Jesus, Are you familiar with the term jumping Jehoshaphat? If you are, you're as old as me. It's a phrase that actually comes from the episode and the event that fostered the Holy Spirit moving the writer of Psalm 47. It took place 850 years before Jesus was born. The king of Judea, living in the capital city of Jerusalem, his name was Jehoshaphat. In the Hebrew, that means God is our judge. Jehoshaphat was informed one day that a mighty army is coming against him, against the people of Judea, and particularly against those who reside in the city of Jerusalem, especially targeting him. Jehoshaphat became aware of the numbers of that army, how well they were armed and trained, and the fire in their eyes so that nothing was going to stop them. And it was all the more heartbreaking when he found out who they were. They were a combination of the Moabites and the Ammonites, relatives of the Judeans. They were the tribes, they were the people, when Israel escaped from Egypt and were spending time in the Promised Land and were winning war after war after war against enemy nation. They came across the Moabites and the Ammonites, and because they were relatives, they left them alone, even though their rituals and religious practices included such abominations as child sacrifice. And here now they come, fully armed. Jehoshaphat stands on the city wall and he jumps in fear, in concern over the well-being of his nation, of his people, looking back at those in his own armaments, his own military, so small, so puny compared to that which was coming to overtake them. And he said, Lord, we cannot win this battle. And he looked up to heaven. And the prophet spoke from the priestly office. And he said, Jehoshaphat, God tells you this is not your fight. It is his. And because it's his, it's an already done deal. Victory is always in the hands of God, and no matter the size of an armament or how well prepared they are, they cannot win against God. God is going to take on this fight. So your only response, Jehoshaphat, along with your army, is to get the singers from the temple, to get those who play the instruments and put them out in front. Open the city gates and out we go. No armaments, no swords, no spears, no chariots, no horses. Singers, instrumentalists, voices singing praise and honor to God for the victory that is already in hand, because God is going to fight the fight. And the doors of the gates opened and out they went, and they played their instruments and they sang at the top of their voices. And all of a sudden, the armies of Moab and Ammon and those who came down from Mount Seir, God threw them into confusion, scattered and so befuddled they had no idea what they were doing, and they turned their swords on each other until no one was left alive. You see, God knows how to fight his battles, and he knows how to do it for the sake of preserving his people. And Jehoshaphat could only say, God has descended among us. He fought the fight, he won, and he has gone back to his throne. So you see why that psalm is selected for this festival of Ascension Day? Doesn't it most beautifully not only prophesy, but show to us now in this century the very personhood of Jesus Christ, God's Son from eternity? He who has to fight because we can't. Oh, we try. We want to. We know the Lord's will. We love him. We love one another. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in and through us. And were we simply a new man and only that, we would do it perfectly and well. But you know as well as I do that there is also connected to us an old man, an old Adam. And it's been there since we were conceived. And it will be there until the day our souls depart from our bodies. And it's a battle. It's a fight. Lord, I want to worship you and you only. I want you to be seen before the eyes of those whom I speak as number one and the only important person in my life, that nothing else can be over you. I want that, Lord. And then here comes that nasty, demonic, devilish Satan. And he says, really? Think about all those other things that are very important in your life. Think about those and make those number one. Just even for a little while. How easy it is for us to fall. Fall to that of which we hold on to with greater strength than he whom our faith is to be wrapped around. Whether it's the God of self, the God of finances, the God of the eyes looking where they ought not look, of the mind wanting what it is not given to have, and on and on. Oh, what a fight it is. And we can't win. We know about the rank that God has placed in our lives. We're always under someone. And he does that for the sake of good order to take care of us. We have those who are our employers. We have those who are our pastors. Those who are our neighbors. Who are to be respected and complimented and cared for. And then here comes that wily, slippery serpent, and he says, oh, think about how unfair they are to you. Think about how much you could do a better job than they do. And what is supposed to be compliment turns out to be criticism and complaint. Need I go on with the other eight commandments? I stand as guilty as anyone. It's a fight. And it's a fight that we do our best at. But our armaments are so small in our own self-endurance compared to the mighty resources that Satan has at his hands, called the world and the media and an American education system in the universities, which now wants to promote a complete and total reversal of God's created order of men and women. Oh, he has tools at his dispense that put us under. God, I repent, we say. And God says, this is my fight. This is my fight. Let me take up my armaments. Let me take him on. The one who my Father and the Holy Spirit and I kicked out of heaven because he thought he had a better way to do things and he could be the light of all lights. We kicked him and those who sided with him out of heaven. He's doomed eternally. Let me fight him. And I'll do it my way with my armaments. And I begin with the fact that there is not one single cell in my body that possesses an old Adam. Every single commandment that we wish we could keep, Jesus did. He worshiped only his Father. He ignored the opportunities to place himself above his Father. Jesus kept God's law perfectly, and he knew no sin. And that's his armament. For then he entered into that battle in a scenario that looks like a big loser. Accused of a crime, convicted without really any serious witnesses, and then sentenced to death. Oh, Lord, how can that be the way to win a fight? Like Peter, do we need to take out our swords and help Jesus by cutting off the ear of Malchus? Oh, Lord, I will stand for you no matter what. And yet, before the rooster crows three times, Peter denies him. How can he win a fight that way? And it gets worse. Beaten, flesh torn, mocked, ridiculed, stripped of his clothing, carrying a beam outside of Jerusalem, mounted on a cross where criminals die. But in the midst of doing that, he's fighting the fight. Oh, it's strange to us, but it's exactly what he was sent to do. And just like he lived his life perfectly, he carried out his mission perfectly. And he did it for you. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, he said. It is finished, he said. Everything necessary to prove my credentials as the Son of the living God has been proven by his endurance upon the cross, taking the sins of the world from Adam and Eve to King Jehoshaphat, to the Moabites, to the Ammonites, to those who came from Mount Seir, and you and me, and bearing them on his flesh, and suffering the consequences, which is death. Yes, folks, that's where the victory is. That's where Satan's mouth was crushed by the heel of Jesus. He who wants to speak negatively about us before God the Father is no longer allowed to do so because Jesus smashed his face. And he was buried, and then he rose. That's the ultimate victory. His victory isn't simply something he does because he has nothing else to do. He does it because it saves you. Right there on that cross, your sins were forgiven. So are the sins of the whole world. And you benefit from that. You benefit from it when he continues to come to you. You see, Ascension Day was simply a manner by which he says, I'm going to go sit on my throne of glory because that's what all creation needs to understand. I sit where no one else can. And I rule with a scepter that no one else can hold, and yet I don't abandon you. I still fight the fight for you. Even though I defeated Satan, I pour out my victory and splash it upon you in the baptismal font. For there he robed you in righteousness. There he penetrated all the way to your soul and forgave your sins and gave you the name Child of God. There he gave you the gift of faith that sees Jesus for who he is, that holds on to him and is the receptor for all of his victory. There in those baptismal waters, your identity was now written in the book of life in heaven, and it's not going to be erased because it's written in the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, who takes all your sins away. And that's why he invites you to the supper, because that's where he continues to fight for you. When that body is placed upon your tongue, you're receiving the victorious Christ. When that blood is poured over your lips, you're receiving the very redemption that the Father accepted for your sake. And there you are sealed in the very power that Christ, and by which Christ watches over your soul all the way unto the time when we breathe our last. And my friends, that's not a time when we need to worry. It really isn't. Because Jesus ascended. And that is proof that on the time when our eyes close, when our breath is exhaled, not followed by an inhale, we ascend. The angels come and receive us and take us to Christ Jesus to be with him. Our souls ascend and are protected with him and by him in heaven, only awaiting the day that he does come back in the same manner that he left. And on that day, the angels will be singing out in front with their instruments and with their voices, singing glory to God in the highest. And we will be lifted from our vaults and souls rejoined to our bodies, this time not subject to anything because the old Adam is gone. And we will, with promise, we will live in the mansions that have been prepared for us from the beginning of time, built by the hands of Jesus. The hands that redeemed you, that saved you, that fought the fight for you. Those are the hands of the victor. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.